Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. And when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of April 26, 2024.
Yay! Thank you for joining us.
Ken and I. My name is Lynn, and Ken is my co-host, but Ken and I are both former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We are also authors of the books Queen in the Kingdom. We have two books out, both under the same title, and you can get those on Amazon. You can get signed copies of the second book on our website, thesweepspot.com. You can also get digital copies of the books on Kindle and wherever those digital books are found, and also on audio. You get the audiobooks wherever audiobooks are found. We are also have a Patreon. If you'd like to help support the show, we'd really appreciate it. It helps us out, and I think you get some cool perks. You get one bonus episode delivered to you once a month, and it's usually stuff we don't talk about or we elaborate on that we maybe didn't want to elaborate as much on a main topic show or current events. So you can do that by going to thesweepspot.com or going to Patreon and searching The Sweep Spot. And you get, for $5 or more, you get those perks. And we really appreciate it. And wanted to mention, we do have a new member. And that is, it's not really a name. I think it's, it says Unlocking Treasures Together.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And yes, thank you. We do appreciate each and every one of you guys.
Yeah, and hope you enjoy some of the perks we give. So also wanted to mention we're going to be at the Disney event in August. The used to be D23 called
D23. Ultimate Fan Event, right?
Yeah, D23, the Ultimate. So not just the fan event, but the Ultimate Fan Event.
Oh,
so,
yes.
And I'm hearing good things about this one. I'm hearing that, from what I heard, the Imagineers are the ones putting together a lot of the displays and things, which I don't know who did in the past, but they have a bigger part in this. So that will be really good to see. So anyways, but you can come see us. We'll be there certain hours each day, and we'll post those hours on our website and on here, of course, as we get closer. But we'll be there all 3 days if you're going. So if you're not going, then you don't need to know, because they're sold out.
Yeah, we'll miss you.
Yeah, but we'll definitely report back and kind of probably have a whole episode on stuff we learned and stuff we saw and just our whole, what we did while we were there too. So, looking forward to that. So let's get right into the current events. But before we do that, we're going to have a message from Eric over at Concierge.
Hello everyone, this is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our journey this week in Walt Disney World's Epcot Park. I had some pretty great times there this last weekend as I got to check out the Flower and Garden Festival. I ate a fantastic meal at Les Chefs de France, enjoyed some delicious ice cream, and somehow managed to hop into the queue at Ratatouille just as it reopened. We're talking a 5-minute wait here, people. All that excitement has me in the mood to look forward to Epcot's next big event, the International Food and Wine Festival. Disney announced dates a few days ago. Epcot's premier gustatory celebration will span 86 days this year from August 29th through November 23rd. By that point, Epcot should be fully open, free of those pesky construction walls. Communicore Hall opens this June, giving the park a more flexible exhibit and performance space. Moana's Journey of Water has been open for a bit, and it's an absolute delight. I love that there are so many options to play in the water or just observe the great effects from a dry distance. Coca-Cola's Club Cool remains open, though I didn't manage to fit that into our last trip. Yep, Epcot has a Coke-sponsored lounge with free sodas from around the world. I recommend the Beverly. Look it up, folks. Epcot's Test Track is going to see some renovations soon, but that's fine. It's been a few years and it really could use a makeover. Besides, there are plenty of other things to do around the park. Heading back to the Food and Wine Festival topic, let's make sure that you check out that rotating crew of bands at the Eat to the Beat series this year. I am certain there will also be plenty of fun scavenger hunts and both returning and new food options at the kiosks around the park. I know. August is such a long way off. What if you're heading to the parks soon? Say, May the 4th through May 31st. Disney's Hollywood Studios and Disney Springs are loading up with some Star Wars treats for all of you aspiring Jedi, Sith, smugglers, and galactic senators. Yay! Seek out the Stormtrooper helmet popcorn bucket you must, I'm going to regret doing that impression. Anyway, having just left the parks myself, I feel a little bit down right now. But you know what? The best cure for those post-trip blues is planning another vacation. Disney has a great deal for you. After you check out, Disney will give you a 7-day window to schedule a trip in 2025. Just for planning ahead, Disney gives you between 25 and 35% off your next trip. Our concierges love to get in touch with you after your trip anyway to see how you liked the experience and plan ahead for future adventures. Let us know if you want to come back in 2025, and we will help get those details set up and your discount secured. The only downside is counting down those days until that next trip. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, there's nothing really to talk about. Okay. Just kidding. Good night, everybody. No, not only do we have stuff to talk about, we've got our Patreon supporters with us live. We'll do it live. They're here. They're going to comment on what we're talking about, and we're going to add their comments to the mix here. So stay tuned, everybody. Listen closely and join us on our Patreon so you can join in next time. All right. First up, Michael Slayton at the Orange County Register has the big news for us. Anaheim Council approves Disneyland Forward, paving way for decades of new experiences. Disney's proposal for growing its theme parks in Anaheim received approval from the Anaheim City Council early Wednesday. This would be the previous Wednesday. A consequential vote that will shape the resort and city for decades and is expected to bring in millions more visitors a year. Mm-hmm. The development agreement the city is agreeing to maps out where new theme park construction could occur over the next 40 years, giving Disney flexibility to determine what exactly would be built, though all still within the footprint of its current properties. The goal, by properties they mean the property Disney owns, not necessarily within the current parks. Mm-hmm. The goal, Disney officials say, is to use underutilized land around the resort to build immersive experiences in Anaheim, as the company has done elsewhere around the world. The council unanimously approved the project at the end of an 8-hour long meeting, the first of two needed votes. It will vote again on May 7th to fully approve the Disneyland Forward plan. Yeah, why there needs to be two votes is kind of, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what.
One of those wonky government things. The council heard presentations from Disney and listened to arguments for and against the project from dozens of people. There was much opposition over the sale of Magic Way. Now, that's the road that runs north of the Disneyland Hotel and just south of the Pixar Pals parking structure. Mm-hmm. So it connects Disneyland Drive to Walnut?
Yeah.
And it's a public road, but everything on both sides of it is Disney. So let's see. There was much opposition to over the sale of Magic Way to the company, which locals said they used to get to the 5 freeway. The council's final vote would sell Magic Way and sections of two other roads to the company for $40 million. So Disney would hand over $40 million to the city of Anaheim for those stretches of road. Wow. And then the roads become Disney's responsibility to maintain, by the way. It's not like Anaheim would still have to maintain those roads. Disney's buying that property, and then Disney would have to maintain those roads. Mm-hmm. Much of the development Disneyland Forward will clear the way for will occur in the parking lots bordered by Walnut Street and Disneyland Drive. The company has said it may also develop the Toy Story parking lot on the southeast corner of the resort, with an eye toward catering more to locals with shopping and experiences modeled after Disney Springs in Walt Disney World. Well, we already have something like Disney Springs. You know, you have like South Coast Plaza, you know, Newport Fashion Island, whatever. That's what it looks like. But anyway, the city is set to get more than $100 million in community benefits from Disney.
Wow.
Most of that money is for acquiring streets and funding infrastructure improvements, such as sewers and roads. Disney will also give Anaheim $30 million to use to build affordable housing and $8 million for city parks, money that the city will decide how to use. Rachel Aid, Disney's Senior Vice President of Global Development and Strategy, said the contribution to affordable housing in Anaheim is similar in value to one the company is making by contributing land to develop a 1,400-unit affordable housing complex near Walt Disney World in Florida. I'm sorry if I mispronounced her name. My eyes are old, so... but Rachel, you know, let's just call her Rachel. It's Disney's first name basis. So what are anyone saying anything in the chat room about this?
Oh yeah. Let's see. Let's go back. Please no Avatar Disneyland Resort, but they're gonna be doing that. And Bob asked, any thoughts on how much capacity Disneyland Ford will increase at the parks? So Disneyland Ford could be many things, right? It could be extension of California Adventure. It could be extension of Disneyland. It could be its own.
More hotel rooms, you know?
More hotels. It could be its own thing. You know, a third park or like a mini third park or whatever. But they haven't really said yet. I think a lot of people are in anticipation that something will come out at D23 this summer. I don't know.
If they're smart, they will do as much as they can as far as density goes. You know, maybe some back of house stuff or delivery tunnels, you know, stuff underground. And then, you know, multiple different things above that. You can have one level of a new building could, like, the ground floor could be, you know, the restaurants or shops or whatever, and then you can actually have attractions or lodging over that, you know.
I mean, they could use existing area that is now taking up back of house, say a California Adventure, and then use that for on stage stuff, and then move the back of house over to these areas that they're talking about. So it doesn't necessarily mean that, who's to know? I mean
they could even buy, or they might already own non-resort property somewhere that they can use for back of house stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so the main thing about Disneyland Forward is just, it's a zoning thing. You know, it allows them to build what they want, where they want on their property, as opposed to this area can only be used for hotel, or this area can only be used for theme park stuff. Yeah. You know, they wanted the flexibility, and probably so they could do multi-use stuff. You know, I think we're probably going to get hotel rooms. You might finally get hotel rooms that are actually in a park and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say they could incorporate the, Pixar Flight. That was something I was thinking about the other day. I thought some of these views in the hotels that are not considered like theme park views will become theme park views, you know? So they'll just up the prices on those.
Those rooms. You
know? Yeah.
Yep. So there should be some change. And again, this wasn't approving specific new projects. Those are still going to have to go back through the city channels.
Permits and all that.
But Michael Slayton had a... You just get some comments ready for me, but I will move on to the next thing here. Part of the same story.
Yeah.
Michael Slayton, again at the Register, says, Anaheim expects economic boost from Disneyland Forward. And as he says here, following 8 hours of public discussion, the city council gave unanimous support for Disneyland Forward. That was early in the morning that Wednesday. And it is expected to pave the way for Anaheim to continue growing as a tourism destination and bring more investment to the region. The council has to take the second and finalizing vote May 7th. Council members seemed largely pleased with the Disneyland Forward proposal, highlighting the years of public engagement they had said occurred on the project The expected economic boost and the more than $100 million in community benefits to help the city address key issues. The development agreement the city is agreeing to maps out where new theme park construction could occur over the next 40 years. But, sorry, pardon me. I'm getting choked up. It is, you know, so 40 years, and the mentions flexibility. So
Right. That's
the key, flexibility. Disney won't say when it will break ground on new developments. It has 10 years to meet a $1.9 billion investment. Now, if they just wait a couple more years, due to inflation, that'll be nothing. Council member Carlos Leon at the meeting spoke out about his concerns with binding future councils with a development agreement that will guide four decades of development. The thing is, when you're talking about like a resort, like a Disney resort, you need stability in the planning. It's going to be decades because you can't, I mean, you know, how often do you get a new council? There's term limits, okay? So there's going to be new councils every few years. You know, people term out of their seat, and then you get another council member, and so now you have a few different people on the council than you did a few years ago, and before long it's an entirely different council. And you know, you can't operate that way, because if you have to wait and see, you know, these projects take decades sometimes, you know, so you need some stability. Yeah. You need the planning ahead and stuff like that. Leon told Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock that he's taking Potrock's word that this isn't the end of the conversation and that the city will be able to continue to work with Disney should issues arise. A large part of the council members' discussion was how the city could get more money to build affordable housing. Disneyland Forward is expected to create thousands of jobs. And one of the council members stressed the importance of having people live where they work. And that means there's a need for more housing. Disneyland Forward will require the entertainment company to contribute $30 million to Anaheim for affordable housing, $15 million this year, the rest in 5 years. The money will go to a city housing trust that'll soon be created. The district, which receives money, they're talking about the resort district, from a 2% assessment on hotel stays at participating businesses, funds Visit Anaheim and transportation improvements in the resort. Potrock said that if the district, which gets more than $20 million a year, is changed to continuously supply some affordable housing money, that could be leveraged and bonded against. So there's an idea. A loss for some locals is the city agreeing to sell Magic Way, which they say offers important access to the five. Some of the residents want the vote to be delayed for that reason. Let's see, what else? Tourism drives Anaheim's economy. Anaheim Finance Director Debbie Moreno said the resort district pays for almost a third of the city's general fund, which is used to fund services such as parks, libraries, and public safety.
Wow.
So as I've said before, and I'll say it again, tourism money is great money. You know, I won't go into all the details again, but you know, people come into your city, drop a lot of money, and they leave. And that's great for the city. Mice Chat covers this story. There's also a story on Laughing Place. So of course, now any, what else is going on in the chat room, Lynn?
Well, before we get that, I wanted to say that, do you think that like with the closure during the COVID times where, you know, that the city of Anaheim kind of saw how dependent they were on Disney in a way that this influenced their decisions this time, maybe?
I think that definitely was telling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tourism and convention business in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Honda Center, which is the hockey arena, concerts, pro wrestling, you know, all kinds of events take place there. You've got the baseball stadium. You've got the convention center, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say Anaheim plus any neighboring city pretty much gives you everything you need. You know, if you need a traditional type mall, you can find one in one of the neighboring cities.
Yeah.
There's plenty of shopping centers, but there's, you know, there's Anaheim has areas with a lot of manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch of different things. There's really upscale housing areas in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. And if it hadn't been for Disneyland, you know, it probably would have been, Anaheim probably would have been very similar to a bunch of other cities that you can find along the five that right. people, you know, people just, they don't stick out in people's minds. You know, they're just cities. They've got some housing, they've got some businesses, and that's yeah. it. You know, I don't think you would have the baseball stadium, you know, or the Honda Center. And
not right in the middle of pretty much middle of a residential in a way. I mean, houses well, aren't I mean, far.
It would just be, you know, Anaheim would just be another suburb of the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of comments here. I'm trying to seek here where we left off. Oh, and, okay.
These are our Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
And, we have quite and by a bit. The way, folks, all these stories will be at our website under the current events section. So if you can click through and read the entirety for yourself.
I don't think I will read all these, but it was probably 20. But let's see. Michael said 8-hour meeting. They passed it just to end the meeting.
it's like a line. It's like a line for a popcorn bucket.
But Bob asked, does that move the berm adjacent to Walnut Street? It could, depending on what they decide to do. I've heard a bunch of things. You know, I've heard that they within this passing they had rules or whatever restrictions on, you know, noise and you know, how high things can be and how high thrill rides can be and all that kind of stuff. And you know, there's a lot of specifics in that. It says if, and then Keith said, if Disney takes possession of these roads, there is no more right of way, correct? They can redevelop the land.
That, I think the idea is that Disney could, you know, close one end of it, for example, and use it as their private road.
Used for like emergency vehicles and back of house and stuff, yeah. Maybe. I read somewhere they were going to at least keep a pedestrian walkway through there, but I don't know if that'll last, if that was just,
yeah,
I don't know what that, if that was like part of the agreement,
because
or just
the city, something. I don't know if the city's keeping an easement, you know, there's these things called easements, mm-hmm. that, you have a lot of times it's for government agencies or utilities to access something. So it's like, okay, yes, you own and control that piece of property, but you've got to allow, you know, a public walkway or whatever. There, this is an issue a lot of times by beaches, you know, right. Beach access, in especially in upscale beach communities,
right.
Where the person buying the home doesn't actually buy the beach. But, you know, they might want to block access to the public, and that becomes a big dispute, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, later on, Keith did mention. I'm not sure if the term is right of way or easement, and you had mentioned that. Let's see. Just trying to read. I can't read all these.
There's so much going on.
Patrick said, just sell Anaheim to Disney.
I do think, and I think I've said it before, I do think Disney, I mean, it'd be ideal, but I could see why there'd be some possible pitfalls. But I think, well, gee, wouldn't it be nice if Disney worked with Anaheim more? Like, hey, we're going to redesign some of your signs and, you know, things like that. And, you know.
Well, they said they'd pay for some parks and things coming up. So,
yeah, what if they actually helped out with some of the design of that, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that would make them too expensive.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see what else we have here. Keith said, cool, I'm ready for the Abram Cafe and the Lincoln Porium. Lincoln Log Ride, Log Flume Ride.
Lincoln Log Ride, oh geez.
Christine, the parking structure on the east side has to come before anything else.
Well, you would think that getting more parking would be, you know, a priority.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what they did when they, well, they had to build the Mickey and Friends parking structure because they were building on the parking lot. But
yeah,
if it doesn't come before, it'll come the same time, because the parking structure they have now can support what they have now, what they're, you know, what they have park wise now. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, Keith said, which lot will that take over? Is it cast member parking east of the Tropicana Inn? Yeah, I think that was what they were originally saying, right? That lot that, behind Harbor, kind of
between Harbor and the Five.
Yeah, it's like back there, like if you take that back road, to like Howard Johnson or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christine said, think so. Disney's selling Lightning Lane to watch construction.
They're going to auction off spots to watch the construction. Yeah.
All right, we're caught up. So, I mean, this is going to be an ongoing discussion that we're probably going to mention very often as more comes out. And, and we'll probably find out more here. What, May 7th? They're going to do some more. So pass some more finalized things. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that and probably talking about it on our next current events.
Who knows? Maybe they're secretly buying my street. I'll walk out my front door and I won't be able to. I'll be trapped. No,
I am. Yeah. Then you'll have to work for Disney again.
Yeah. Well, speaking of parking and cars and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, let's get to this next story here. This next one is the OC Register by Brady McDonald, and it's titled Disneyland's Autopia Cars to Go Fully Electric by 2026. The gas-powered Autopia cars in Tomorrowland will become a thing of the past when Disneyland transforms the ride vehicles to fully electric power in an update that has been anticipated for decades but will still take several years to realize. Disneyland will convert Autopia from gas engines to fully electric power within 30 months, according to Disneyland officials. The timeline means Disneyland will no longer use gas engines on Autopia vehicles by fall of 2026. Closing and reopening dates have not been set for Autopia update.
Wow.
So
I'm glad we spent time talking about this the last time, you know. And then they come out and go, yeah, we're going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying, yeah, they're just saying it. They don't have a date. So then I think that's why they kind of threw in that date, because they were very broad. Yeah.
Well, last time they thought maybe it was going to be hybrid or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When we talked about this, there was still the question of, is it going to be hybrid or fully electric? So this time, the big news is that it's going to be fully electric, apparently.
It's not going to be the same attraction. I mean, the noise and the smell is what makes Autopia.
They should make it smell like those Tyco cars or whatever, you know, those tracks you would put together as a kid, and
yeah, the slot car.
Yeah, and you had those, you know, triggers that would make them go, and they had a distinctive smell to them. You got they yeah, smell yeah. like that.
Well, I hope the cars do make some sort of noise. I mean, it's going to be really quiet in that area. Just, I don't know, be a little odd just because we're so used to that. All right. Well,
yeah, you'll just hear the tick tock from the small world clock, you know.
I wonder if Honda will still be the sponsor.
Are they working on the car with Sony?
Oh, is it?
I think it's Honda that's working on, or maybe I'm confusing it with one of the other Japanese companies, but they're working on an electric vehicle with Sony, I think. So there's people who know for sure who are screaming right now, and I can't hear them, but yeah. So and what I wonder, do our Patreon supporters have anything to say about the Utopia?
Yeah, Bob said a fleet of tiny Teslas. They will need fake Utopia sounds. Christine said it will be too quiet there. Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's going to be quiet there. Too quiet. John said, I think Utopia will go away. I don't think it will if they're going to do this, because that's going to be a lot of money to convert those or make new ones or whatever they're doing. I don't see it. I mean, that when we heard that news, I thought, oh, because it's always the rumor, like, oh, they should get rid of Topia and put in Tron. You know, they all these different things, right? Or and subs and Utopia. That's a lot of room right there. And I agreed it is, but I think once this announcement came out, it kind of cemented at least that ride in for, I don't know, what do you think? At least another 10 years. But
well, how much work? Well, let's if they could actually. They could build like something, an extension of Cars Land.
Like the behind, thing is,
would it be too redundant? You have to wonder. But if depending on how much work it would take to make it electric, because maybe it's just converting the cars themselves. But maybe you need to do something to the track. And if you need to do something to the track, then you know maybe you just build a whole new Utopia elsewhere, right, like DCA or something, and then so I don't know, we'll have to see what actually happens.
See if we have any more comments about that subject. John, so much space to do something good there. Utopia is good. I like Utopia, so I mean it's an opening day attraction. I think that's not that they have never closed an opening day attraction, but I think that means a lot by being one. Keith, make big slot cars sponsored by Tyco or ATX. self-driving Utopia cars, Bob said. Maybe the ticket prices, Justin said, maybe the ticket prices will come down since they don't have to pay for gas.
You have to pay for electricity in California, so
yeah, they always have power.
If you know anything about electricity in California,
let's see. They'll have to put in coal burning power plant to power the cars.
It'll be very environmentally friendly. More coal fired power plants, yes.
All right, well, moving along.
Maybe they need hydrogen powered cars. Well, if you want to read the whole thing, you can go through there, but we can move on to the next story, also from Brady McDonald at the Orange County Register. He gave a review of the Pixar parade, and he says Pixar parade dancers outshine lackluster floats at Disneyland resorts. So, you know, Pixar Fest is kicked off here, Lynn. So I know you were waiting for it.
You know, the new Pixar parade at Disney California Adventure got me dancing and humming along with the energetic performers and contagious soundtrack, even if the floats left me underwhelmed. Pixar Fest kicked off on Friday, April 26th, and runs through August 4th with the returning Together Forever fireworks show at Disneyland, the new Better Together parade at and Club Pixar dance party at DCA, and a host of new themed food and drinks at both parks. The Better Together parade, with a message of friendship and unity, features seven parade units, a massive version of Pixar's Luxo Jr. lamp kicks off the parade. Yeah, it's the lamp, it's interesting. It goes around and it like picks a kid to stomp on. And flatten like the eye. No, I'm sorry. That doesn't actually happen, believe it or not. Overall, the street performers outshine the floats laden with Pixar characters at every stage of the parade. And he goes on to like give a pretty detailed description of everything. And he says the storyline with each parade float picks up just after each movie ends and applies a message from every film. The turning red float takes parade goers to a 4-foot town boy band concert or whatever.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah.
Am I misreading that? It's a four town boy band concert. Okay.
Oh, it's from the movie.
I didn't see the movie. All right,
Red or whatever. Yeah, gone.
Sea creatures and humans hang out together on the Luca float. Soul pianist Joe Gardner's middle school students play a musical salute to him in a Mr. Holland's Opus moment. Oh, that's nice. So, Brady liked the performers better. And Mice Chat has from Dusty Sage a story called Pixar Fest Arrives at Disneyland, Your Guide to Adventure. So whatever, you can go to Mice Chat and get like the complete lowdown on all the Pixar Fest stuff. I'm wondering if anybody in the chat room has checked out the Pixar stuff in the initial hours of it being available.
No. But I don't, maybe it's just me, but I'm not super excited about this Pixar Fest. I mean, not that I don't enjoy some of the Pixar movies, but I don't know if it's just kind of a placeholder.
It does strike me. I mean, because I know there's theories that the movies all take place in the same universe, but you know, the movies are different subjects. It's like, you know, we're going to have the 20th Century Studios, you know, fest or whatever. You know, hey, here's the Planet of the Apes float, and here's the, you
know. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine, I guess. I don't know. It's good. I was going to say, it seems like it fits more at California Adventure, but I mean, there are some Pixar attractions in Tomorrowland. Two. Yeah. So it's fine. It's just, I just remember summers being like the classic time. Like it was, I mean, I'm just probably just too old, but I'm just saying, remember the times that they had the America, what was the firework? Fantasy
in the Sky.
Sky, yeah. And then they had the electrical parade, and yeah. I'm not saying they should do that, but.
And they added Fantasmic.
Yeah, it was just kind of a classic time to go. I don't know. They don't need this to draw more people.
Summer was different by virtue of those things. They didn't run fireworks year round back then.
Right.
And then the hours, you know, being able to go on a Wednesday and stay till midnight or 1 a.m., you know. It was a different time, a simpler time.
They were simpler. Keith said, I feel like Disneyland Resort is phoning it in with Pixar Fest. How is it different from Festival of Holidays, Lunar New Year, or Food and Wine? It does have a ton more food offerings this time, Christine said. True. I think it is also a good time for them to any special events or things like this is a good time for them to bring in new food offerings.
Yeah,
definitely. And a lot of people that are especially Magic Key holders, people that go there often enjoy that because different food items. But for me, right. Even me, yeah, I go a couple times a year or more, but I always still like to eat the stuff that I like and don't really try the new stuff too much. That, and I don't want to waste my money. What if I don't like it? You know,
yeah.
It's expensive. So,
yeah.
That's just my thinking. But if I hear enough about one thing, like that's new, then I might try it. Like those little cookies that are over at across from the mansion. Yeah, those were good. I enjoyed those. I mean, it's something different that Disney had, but
yeah.
Anyhow, all right. Let's see, what do we have next? Okay, it's from the OC Register, Brady McDonald. Have Disneyland Magic Key prices finally outpaced demand?
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
Sales of all four tiers of Magic Key annual passes went on sale March 5th, and 6 weeks later, the three most expensive tiers are still available. The lowest priced Imagine Key, available only to Southern California residents, sold out in less than 9 hours.
Wow.
They should make more. No. Disneyland raised Magic Key prices in October to... Wow, is it really that much? Okay, Magic Key prices to... I didn't know how much the most expensive one was because I don't need it. But yeah. Anyways, to $1,649 for the Inspire Key. The Believe Key is $1,249. The Enchant Key is $849. And the Imagine Key was $499. Complaints about Disneyland annual passes are common on social media, from parking costs, ride breakdowns, to food quality, customer service, but Magic Key price increases tend to be proverbial nail in the coffin for annual pass holders on the fence about renewing.
Yeah. People drop off.
Yeah. Well, people get outpriced, right?
You know, yeah.
Or things change, you know, they just, especially, you know, I know a lot of Magic Key holders that don't live in the area, that live in Utah, Arizona, or even Northern California.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, if you do the math and you know this year I'm probably going to be going this many, and that's kind of why I did it, because I knew this year I was going to go more with D23 and all that. And I have a special trips coming up planned. So I kind of did the math. I thought, wow, it makes a lot of sense to do that. So,
well, yeah. I mean, some of us remember, but see, the thing is, when you'll see those prices, mm-hmm. and some of us remember when they were $100 and included parking.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was it got you admission during regular hours, and that was it, and parking. And you would get like a quarterly publicity newsletter. But that was it, you know. No special parties, no special merchandise, no discounts, nothing like that. But there were no blockout dates. It was just, you know, and when you think $100, you go, yes, there's been inflation, but compare that to $1,600, you know?
Well, yeah, like, you could follow inflation, right? And go from 19, whenever that was, to, I mean, I think the
late 1980s, you know.
The last one I paid for, because I actually bought one the year I hired, it was only like 2 months old. The one I bought just before I hired in, 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think what that was. I think it was like 159 or something like that. wasn't that much, 149. It was like around in that price.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that was expensive, but if you were to follow the inflation and what the prices should be if they were to stay with inflation rates over the years, I'm sure it would have been lower than what they are. But
I mean, clearly, if the prices were lower, it would just, there would just be overwhelming demand. I mean, being a Disneyland annual pass holder used to be kind of a rare thing. Around now, you know, I listen to different local radio stations, and it seems like there's always at least some of the staff there that mentioned they have annual passes.
Yeah,
you know, or magic keys, It's like, you used to never hear people talk about it like that, you know, but now everybody's got them, you know. It seems like, except the people, there are people who fall off and say it's just too much, you know, that they can't go when the least expensive ones allow them to get in. And bottom line here is everybody should just go book their trips with Lynn, yeah, so they can get the best deals, and not worry about, you know, that. Just make a vacation out of it. Chat room, Patreon supporters
are chatting. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm just going to say it. I hate when that happens. No, you're fine. I was going to say is before when they were selling them for, say, a couple days and then they'd stop sales and then they'd bring it back again, that kind of made some people panic because if theirs was going to expire, then they thought, well, I need to renew because if I don't, they won't be selling them again. And then,
right,
you know, and that made me think that too. But now, after this year is over, because mine expires the end of this year, not right at the end, but near that time, in November, I think, it makes me think in the future, will I be going as much in 2025? Probably not. At least that's what I'm thinking. Probably not. Mm. So I'll have to, but, you know, if I think I'd be giving up my spot and I won't be able to get it back, then I don't know. So that maybe some people did. All right, let's see what the...
I mean, the price of anything, there's a tipping point. You know, any economist will tell you that. The key for many companies is finding out what that tipping point is and not crossing it.
Yeah.
Because once you cross it, and if there's a huge fall off, it's like, oops, now what do we do? You know?
Yeah, I think they kind of did that and then they pulled back. So, you know, and typically the prices go up before the end of the year again. What is it? Usually like around in October or something. So I don't think they need to, but they probably will.
Mm.
All right.
All right. Well, keep an eye on the chat room so that our Patreon supporters will be included. And if you want to be a Patreon supporter, go to Patreon and search the Sweep Spot. We're still talking about the disability stuff, apparently. Brady McDonald published a story saying Disneyland excludes disabled people with discriminatory policy, group says. I love that you can make the headline saying anything, even if you don't agree with it, and you can just say group says, you know. A violent and bloody end, Homer Simpson, is just one of the many possibilities. But anyway, it's that kind of thing. So, a group representing the disabled community is urging Disneyland and Disney World to reconsider recent quote-unquote discriminatory changes to the Disability Access Service Program that exclude people with a wide array of disabilities. A DAS Defenders letter addressed to Disney CEO Bob Iger, Disney Parks Chairman Josh D'Amaro, and Disneyland Resort President Ken Potrock, and a change.org petition with 9,000 supporters call on Disney to revise its disability access service policy and reverse recent updates to the program. I don't think Disney's going to reverse it. But as the story says, in early April, the Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resorts updated the Disability Access Service program to limit assistance to only theme park visitors with developmental disabilities like autism and other neurodivergent disorders. Here's a quote. By limiting the DAS program to developmental disabilities only, Disney is effectively telling us that we are not welcome or recognized in their parks anymore, end quote, according to the DAS Defenders letter. New quote here. The new policy fails to meet the genuine needs of all disabled guests. It is ableist and belittling, end quote. So we have talked about this before. There's actually a long list. It says, according to the DAS Defenders, recent revisions to the program excludes disabled people with cancer, post-traumatic stress disorder, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and it goes on and on and on and on. Now, I know a lot of people who have those conditions are going to be using mobility aids, like a wheelchair or a scooter, walkers, and people who are doing that don't usually need the DAS system. Now, of course, what I'm sure they would say is not everybody who has these issues is going to use a mobility aid. So that is true. I mean, I can see any change is going to be met with resistance, any change to a policy like that. Disney is dealing with a very difficult situation. I mean, you know, I've seen it because we, of course, at Disneyland, we use the later return times. They don't need those on the DCA side. But you'll see there'll be a line of people using the alternate thing. You know, the alternate boarding area for on the DCA side for Radiator Springs Racers. They do that thing where they do it too with the Spider-Man thing. They pull a vehicle off to the side to make it, you know, you can load in there without having to be in a hurry. And you need extra assistance getting in or out of the vehicle. And there'll be sometimes be a significant line for that because there's so many people who need it. It's a very difficult situation for Disney to be in.
Well, they're trying to balance that with lightning lanes and Genie pluses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really, and then Disney hasn't been really specific. They did say what you said here, limit assistance to only theme park visitors with developmental disabilities such as autism and other neurodivergent. But we don't know how this is going to go when it comes out. Like, I think there's a lot of conclusions drawn before it's actually happened, you know? I don't know. That's the feeling I get.
Disney goes above and beyond. I mean, there's certain things you have to do by law, but Disney really does go above and beyond. I can say that, having seen it for myself.
And I'm sure the reason they announced this and then, you know, it's not going to go into effect. When did it say?
It's coming into effect. It's not in effect yet. I think it comes into effect like in June.
So the reason they waited, they didn't say effective immediately is because they want to hear some of the feedback, because they are always trying to please and accommodate the guests. And I think they will take some of these into consideration. Now, they can't just, you know, let anyone do. I think that's what you're saying is they're not. They need to funnel. What am I trying to say? They need to. You can't just allow everyone that wants to have it. They have to have some sort of restrictions, right?
Right.
Because just otherwise, the line will be
simply not wanting to wait in line. You know, it's not a. And again, it's not like you avoid waiting entirely. Lot of times, what it is. You're given a, you're going to do some waiting, but you know, who wants to stand around in a slow moving line? Nobody, you know, but
but there's, you know, people saying, look, I have reasons. I just can't endure that,
right?
Beyond a patience issue, right. You know? But the thing is, there are people who've abused the system. There are.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that definitely need it. And then I feel like there's some people that maybe, abuse it or just, I don't know, what do you want to say, milk it or whatever. I mean, yeah. You have to wait in lines everywhere in life, but Disney does try to help, you know, the grocery stores and things. But I think Disney is trying to do their best to balance everything, because there was one time where we were there and my wife had her scooter and we were doing the Thunder Mountain one because she has a hard time with stairs sometimes. And so there are stairs on that one. Some of them doesn't matter, you know, but there's stairs on that one.
Yeah.
And so we did that, but the line for, there were so many people with scooters and wheelchairs and all that I looked over and I thought, wow, if we were to do standby, it's like 10 minute wait right now. And this looks like it's like 20 minute wait. So I didn't, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I think they're trying to balance it all. And then also people are paying for Genie Plus. So they're also, I know they've had a lot of complaints about the return wait times for those.
Right.
So I think they're trying to please everyone, and I don't think they'll ever will, but I think they're doing their best they can. But,
right.
And I'm one to be honest, and you know, I don't always stick up for Disney. I think that the sweet spot is good for, because we try to be honest and give our opinions, but I do think that they are trying.
Yeah.
So I have some comments here.
Oh boy.
Michael Parks said, my wife needs Daz and is opting out of our upcoming Disneyland trip. They really don't understand individual needs. Yeah. Kim said, I was temporarily disabled, broken tailbone, and Knott's wouldn't let me use a mobility aid. Christine, it would be so much easier to require a doctor's note, then there would be much less fakers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can. Maybe. But that's why they're using that outside service, right? Because
right,
then that right, outside service.
Say, oh, well, it's not us. It's this outside service. And that's because think about what you've been asking the people at City Hall and the Disneyland side to do. You know, you've been asking them to be experts in what people can handle and what they can't, and if they're telling the truth and if they're not. I mean, you know, they're not doctors. They're not detectives. They're there as customer service, you know. And so, yeah, have this other company handle it, you know.
Right. Michael is saying in response to that, getting a doctor note requires an appointment, which has a copay.
Right. Yep. Yep. That's part of the issue, I'm sure.
Yeah. There must be a way. I think, like I said, this isn't over yet.
There's no perfect solution to this. There isn't, you know. And yes, it does. Disney does have more pressure on it because they've been selling, you know, front of the line access. So that's part of the issue too. And, you know, there's a lot of people who swear by that and say it's what Disney should do. And, you know,
Michael, I think that maybe just wait. I don't know. I don't know the situation, but I just don't think Disney's really done with this. I think that they're kind of hearing what people are saying and they're going to kind of try to come up with a medium here, but you know, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. You can cancel, but I would wait, because you don't know. I mean, they might be able to accommodate and she'll have the dance. So, you know, we'll see. But,
and part of it, I know this is taking a long time already.
No, it's fine.
But part of it, I have to say this because I know this stuff now because of a certain work I do. There's demographics involved in this, you know.
the median age of the population is shifting older. And if trends continue, that'll eventually change, you know. So, I mean, in other words, you have a lot more people who are visiting the parks who are older and have some of these issues. And it's not always going to be like that, though, you know.
Right.
I would like it. I mean, I don't want anybody to pass away, but I'm just saying that's the demographic factor at work there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this will be an ongoing thing. So Christine said the new policy starts at Disney World in May, so maybe it will get tweaked for us. So yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely keep you up to date as far as everything we know on that.
All well, right. Speaking of that, we don't want more people to get to need special assistance by having lampposts fall on them, right?
No. Good lead in. This is from the OC Register, Brady McDonald, of course, April 19th. Disneyland replaces lampposts as precautionary measure. It's getting late. Disneyland has begun removing and replacing lampposts throughout the Anaheim theme park as a precautionary measure after high winds in November toppled a town square lamppost that left several visitors injured. Disneyland has removed and is replacing lampposts near the Jolly Holiday and the Rancho del Zocalo restaurants and Pirates of Caribbean attraction as precaution. Disneyland routinely inspects, maintains, and replaces lamp poles as part of ongoing maintenance, according to Disneyland officials. Three Disneyland visitors were injured in November when a town square lamppost fell during high winds gusting to 60 miles an hour and toppled onto a walkway near the park entrance. 60, yeah, that's it's common, but it's kind of rare, right? I mean, that's pretty high. I mean,
yeah, it's not like unheard of, but
right.
It's still, yeah.
It's always good to, and some of those lampposts, I mean, what fell on those was not a lamppost. I thought it was, I thought it held up the speakers for the parade. I don't think it was a lamppost. At least the picture that I saw of it, it was not a lamppost. But, and those aren't as new, or those are newer than the original lampposts. So, all right, well, that's good. They're always looking out for our safety.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have anything.
Hopefully, hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah. So Michael said, "Can we buy the lampposts?"
I'm sure they'll be auctioned off. Well, anything that fell over is going to be in evidence if it clobbered somebody. There was like a Space Mountain rocket that was kept backstage for quite a while because it was evidence in a case. But okay.
Moving on.
So thank you to our Patreon supporters. And let's keep the comments coming. I will move on to good news for Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, because Mickey, Minnie, and other Disneyland character performers move one step closer to unionizing. This is Brady McDonald in the Register. He reports that Disneyland's 1,700 character and parade performers file a petition to unionize under the Actors Equity Association. Now, Oswald has the most seniority, doesn't he? So
yeah, I would think
he's going to have the best schedule. Disneyland's 1,700 character and parade performers, calling themselves Magic United, filed a petition on Wednesday, April 17th, with the National Labor Relations Board to unionize under the Actors Equity Association. According to the union, a campaign launched in February has gathered union authorization signatures from more than 60% of the eligible Disneyland character and parade performers, according to Equity. The union has notified Disney of the signed petitions and is waiting to see if the company grants voluntary recognition. If Disney does not recognize Magic United, a union election with the National Labor Relations Board
will be held at Disneyland in May or June, according to Equity. Equity has been circulating a list of key issues facing non-union Disneyland characters and parade performers that include pay, annual raises, safety, costumes, scheduling, seniority, and job security. Well, how long has Mickey been with the company? I know Oswald spent a lot of time away, but I think Mickey's job security is pretty much confirmed.
I would hope so.
Yeah. While most of Disneyland's 3,500 employees are represented by 26 unions, the park's 1,100 character performers and 600 parade performers and support staff are not unionized. I can just picture someone getting a role in the parade and, like, you know, because the parade, it's seasonal often, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, their entire paycheck is going to be taken up with, like, initiation fees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
right. I mean,
getting choked up about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Laughing Place also has a story. Mike Mack covers it over there. I'm wondering if any of our chat room community has anything to say about unionizing the characters. You know, like I said, Oswald has the most seniority, right?
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, let's see. Have any comments here? Oh, they're talking about the this to kind of go back on the lamp, on the lamppost, but just because
I
thought this was good. It says, Michael said, if something in design falls on you, you should be able to keep it.
And then, fine, that should be the rule, right?
Yeah.
In that case, I know a few princesses that I'm tripping. No, sorry, I'm a married man. Never mind. I'm a married spud. You know. So. No, if something falls on you, you get to keep it. It's like, I'm going into the candy shop, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a trip through Disneyana.
All right. What do we got?
All right. So I wanted to point out that Laughing Place, not Laughing Place, geez. You can click through and see, you know, the stories at Laughing Place and all that sort of thing. But Mice Chat has their usual updates, heavy laden with photos as they are. There was Susan Lee, who had an update on April 15th. Disneyland update, goodbyes, last hurrahs, and new horizons. And there was one from Liliana Parker on April 22nd. A Disneyland update, exciting expansion, Pixar surprise, and Electric Tomorrow. So, you know, as always, you can click through, get the full thing if you want. It'll all be at the current events portion of our website. And now it's time for refurb information from Lynn and whatever other comments we have going on in the chat room.
All right, let's go into refurb. So, of course, we know the Haunted Mansion is down, and we don't know a return date. A lot of speculation, and Disney had kind of mentioned that it will be there for the Halloween season, which starts earlier this year, I think near the end of August. So who's to know? I noticed that a lot of photos, I watch David over at Fresh Baked, and he does a lot of good construction videos. And when I was there a couple weeks ago, so they still have cranes. It looks like they're just parked out there where they dug up the old queue. There's still mm-hmm. dirt there. Like, there's no building yet. It's still tearing. So I don't know if they hit something. Well, not, yeah, they may have hit something, but something seems to have stalled that, at least according to some of the videos and photos I've seen recently.
You know, we've continued to have rainy weather, so.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it too. So hopefully they're on, you know, they're on a good timeline, and they're going to be done in time. I mean, there was some hope that they might be open this summer, but I mean, that's approaching soon. So, Mr. Lincoln is down. No return date yet. He better return. No. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. I don't know what they're doing over there, but that's been down a while. So maybe
they're chopping down the redwoods.
Oh, better not. Okay.
Turning him into decks. You know, I don't know.
Utopia cars. Okay. Matterhorn bobsleds are down and reopen April 29th. So just a few more days. And oh wait, no, they're down on April 29th and they'll be back open on May 3rd. Sorry. So from May or April 29th to May 3rd, they'll be down. May 1st, all of Critter Country, including Winnie the Pooh, will be closing indefinitely, right? Because we don't know when. I assume when Tiana's Palace or Tiana's Bayou Adventure, when that opens, I imagine it'll all open together. I don't know.
But... Well, that's to, well, you know, Tiana's Bayou Adventure is TBA.
TBA?
TBA.
Yes, TBA.
Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Yeah. That's TBA. So we don't know when that'll open because it's TBA.
Oh, I get it. Did-ooch. Okay. Well, that's all I have. But yeah, the, you know, hopefully that won't be closed too long. I like Critter Country. It's one of my favorites nice to walk through. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have. Let me see if there's any comments. About anything.
And I will say, as you're reviewing those, you can join our Patreon and you too can join our recording session once a month. So you can contribute your thoughts to the discussion.
That's right. All right. Well, we don't really have any new comments about what we just spoke about. But just wanted to thank everyone that's in the chat room for coming on. We really appreciate it. We had a good showing this week. And if you are one of our Patreons and you haven't yet been to one of our chats, we'd love to see you there. And I mean, it seems like a good time and I enjoy reading some of the comments. So, you can join in there. Like Ken said, you can join our Patreon, by going to our website and looking for the Patreon link or go to Patreon and search the Sweep Spot. Ken, do you have anything you want to
say? I just want to say, spread the word. You know, we do these programs every 2 weeks or so, usually. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, the alternating weeks, we release a main topic episode, which, you know, we usually talk about a specific topic. We talk with a specific person, maybe something historical about the resort. You want to catch those because you'll hear perspectives you've never heard before. And then, you know, of course, we do keep you up to date on what's happening now with these current event episodes. So subscribe if you haven't already, or subscribe to us in a different place. I mean, so, you know, it's no problem having multiple subscriptions to the podcast, and do comment and give reviews, especially at Apple Podcasts on the Sweep Spot, and tell a friend we're here. Check our website for the merchandise. We've got some really great merchandise there for the Disney or theme park fan in your life.
Great. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening and we'll talk with you next time.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.